Shakeshad, you can get started whenever you're ready. You're on mute, Shakeshad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا كريم يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله تعالى all of you guys are doing well out there الحمد لله we're here once again with another week of going over Imam Nawawi's rahimahullah's 40 hadith collection this is our ninth session, I believe, so far. And so we have gone over a good handful of hadith already. I'm covering all different foundations of the religion. Last week, we talked about two main hadith, and that was on brotherhood. That was hadith number 13 of Imam Nawawi's collection. And talking about you want for your brother what you want for yourself. And that's something that all of us can continuously work on, trying to get out jealousy from our heart and that we love for others, other our brothers and sisters in our community, which we want to love for ourselves. And of course, if everybody would apply that, imagine what type of society that would be, right? People working together, people sharing their wealth together, people sharing their ideas together, right? Ta'awun ala birri wa taqwa, people working together for taqwa and for righteousness, how a society should be, if you will. And then we also talked about the other hadith, hadith number 15, that the Prophet talked about that if you cannot say anything good, then remain silent. You know, if everyone could really work on that one, the world would be very different, right? But we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have WhatsApp groups, and everyone wants to throw in their opinion, whether they're they know what they're talking about or not, etc. And so you really have to kind of, it's kind of hard to practice that, especially when in an environment where it encourages you to talk and post and text as much as you can. So you really have to control yourself in that aspect. And then the Prophet said that to be generous with your to your neighbors and to be generous to your guests, right? And these are some things that inshallah ta'ala we can all work on. So we have we're going over inshallah ta'ala the hadith for today. We're going to cover two of them inshallah ta'ala, at least that is my goal. We should be able to do it here. And the hadith also, it's going over this this foundation that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is building, right? Went over intentions, went over foundations of the religion, we went over avoiding innovations in the religion, keeping away from doubts, right? We don't want to harm that foundation. It's like a foundation of a house. You don't want no water leaks in it. You don't want any cracks. You want to keep that strong. So whatever is built on top of it will be secure. And then we talked about the foundations of a society, and that was last week, right? Brotherhood, wanting for others, being good to your neighbors, etc. And now we're going to speak a little bit, it kind of plays into the foundations of society, and that is our mannerism and character, right? Now that we have a strong foundation, that we want to make sure that our mannerism is well kept well, and our character, the way we talk, the way we treat others. And the thing is, like, the human being is kind of like, all due respect, I'm a human being also, is kind of like a wild animal to an extent, right? We learn certain things from people around us. We have our own nafs, our own desires inside of us that could be attracted to greed, lust, wanting for ourselves only, right? Selfishness, all these different things. And so what happens is that we have this deen, we have this religion that comes and kind of molds that human being, right? The human being wants to have, haughtiness. It wants to have a lot of pride and arrogance. But then religion comes to say, hey, calm down, right? This is how you should be, right? Doesn't always want to look for themselves. Might have their anger, might have all these different things. But the religion is there to mold. And that's all what we're doing here is, like the Prophet said, that religion is nasiha. It is a bunch of advice that it's constantly giving to us in day in and day out to try to keep us on that siratul mustaqim, if you will. So we have hadith here, hadith number 16. Let me just minimize this thing in the corner here. On the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, counsel me, right? Give me some counsel, right? Give me some advice. So the Prophet said, do not become angry. The man repeated his request for counsel several times. And each time the Prophet said, will say, do not become angry. So once again, here's a picture here. You have a man that's coming to the Prophet, a companion of the Prophet. Comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice, right? Anything that I could benefit from. And so the Prophet said, well, don't become angry. So the man repeats it again. Okay, all right. So can I get some more advice? Give me some more advice. And the Prophet ﷺ once again says, do not become angry. And mentioned the man said it again, right? As if he's what? You could all think about what he's thinking about in his head, that maybe that advice that he gave is not like, you know, what he's looking for. He was looking for something more complex, more, you know, more deep than just don't get angry, right? Something that, you know, no one has heard before. Something very special, that some kind of special thing you could give me only. And the Prophet ﷺ keeps on repeating with a simple advice, that is, or the short, simple advice, and that is, do not become angry. And so here you have, subhanAllah, very simple words, right? You could count it. You know, in Arabic, it's only two words, Allah Ta'ala, right? English, we have like four words, so do not become angry. Very simple. And we all know, we're all human, and we all know that all of us get angry at, you know, some of us worse than others, right? Inshallah ta'ala, you are able, we're those who can control our anger more than others, that you know that this is a big role in people's lives, right? Anger. And anger is something that could ruin relationships. If you live with somebody that has anger problems, it makes life very difficult, knowing what not to say and what to say, not to anger that person, to cause another two-hour argument, to ruin a family dinner, to ruin an event or just be on bad relations. So you're very careful sometimes when you're talking to people. And it's very hard when you're dealing with someone that has a very high temper, because you're always on edge. You're like, I need to tell this person this, but then if I correct them, they're going to say, you're always correcting me, and why you think I'm this and you think I'm that. And then so then you just kind of stay quiet, and it's very hard to function like that, you know. And sometimes you get coworkers like that. They just cannot be told that they did something wrong, or sometimes themselves, they look like they're very angry. Maybe they have some other things going outside of the workplace that they're bringing into work. It could be marriage issues. It could be financial issues. It could be health issues. And so it just causes a lot of effect around that person, right? And you know, you all know that if you know someone who has temper problems, like I mentioned before, it's quite difficult. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling this man that do not become angry. And then, so there's also some other narrations of this hadith. When I mean other narrations, other versions of this hadith, that the scholars, anytime they find a hadith, they always look for if there's another hadith very similar to it, or the same with extra wording. So maybe another reporter of hadith heard the same hadith, but it had an extra wording to it that wasn't in a previous version, right? So maybe someone forgot, or someone heard differently than someone else. So in this other narrations that are mentioned, that when the man came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, he asked him, can you tell me of an act that will lead me into Jannah? So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not get angry. And if you do so, for you is Jannah. And that is like, wow, subhanAllah. We're talking about making hajj, we're talking about praying, you know, trying to get into Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ in this narration says that what? If you do not get angry, then for you will be Jannah. That's it. If you can work on that, then Jannah is going to be right there at your door. Okay. You know, and that's, and you know, like, oh, wow, that's it. Okay. Well, we all know that not getting angry is not as simple as that's just it, right? And of course, you have to pray. Of course, you have to make hajj. But the Prophet is saying that this is a very encompassing act that has ramifications in all different aspects of your life. Another narration said, what is the best act? So a person came to the Prophet and said, what is the best act that I could do? The best action, the best deeds I could do? The Prophet said, good character. Husn al-khuluq. I kind of mentioned this earlier, right? And for it is that you do not get angry if you're able to do it. So here the Prophet said, it's good character. And then he defines what good character is. So the Prophet said, what is good character? Like, what aspect of good character? The Prophet said, good character is that you don't get angry if you're able to control it, if you're able not to do it, right? So this would be a pinnacle of good character, right? And you might know some people, subhanAllah, yeah, you talk to them, you feel like they never seen angry in their life before. Of course, you don't, like I said, it's always misleading, because when you see people at the masjid, at your workplace and family events, that's one thing. But what actually goes down in the household could be another story, or it could be the same. So we actually have good thoughts about people, right? But sometimes you might know a family member, you know them very well, and it's like really easygoing. It's like you know, out of, you don't know, like, things don't just bother that person very much. I don't know, maybe they don't care for it, or maybe they just learn how to cope, and maybe they're just holding it inside. It could be multiple things. But nonetheless, that's just amazing that they're able to control themselves and keep composure in times of anger, right? So we keep on going here. The Prophet, the man asked the Prophet, counsel me. And one thing that we could come and go in depth of the hadith here is that, look at this companion here, right? Look at this companion. He comes to the Prophet and says, counsel me, Ya Rasulullah. I want you guys, what can we just take from just from that aspect of the hadith? Number one is, usually when people come to the Prophet, or when they come to an imam or come to a sheikh, it's usually like, can I do this or can I not do that? Is this halal? Is this haram? Can I put my money here? Can I eat this type of food, right? If I did this to somebody, is that okay? Right. So usually they're looking for an answer for something. It's very rare that you have a person that comes to the imam or Dr. Siddiqui. Dr. Siddiqui, like, what can I do to better myself? What can I do to get to Jannah? What can I do to help out the community? Right. You can ask them, like, what is the percentage of people that actually come to you, like, in your, you know, 40 plus years of working at the masjid, or 30 plus, well, how many years, you know, what is the percentage of people that actually come and ask these type of questions, right? And look at the companion here. He's coming not to ask the Prophet, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I drink this? Can I not drink that? He just says, how can I just, I want to get to Jannah, Ya Rasulullah. Yeah, you're the Prophet of Allah. You must know the best way that I can do this. So we have this eagerness to learn from those who are scholarly, those who have learned, if you will. And so, and not necessarily always asking about a question. It's good to ask for questions, don't get me wrong, right? But it's also good to, like, and it's humbling when you go to somebody and say, how can I better myself? And when you ask that question, what's understood is that you're humbling yourself, saying that I need to improve. And not everyone wants to say that, because it's not really, you know, it's not very, you know, uplifting sometimes for some people. But that is super uplifting, because you want to better yourself. Alhamdulillah, that is the greatest thing, you know what I mean? That you want to improve yourself. So that is something you should try to do. So Sister Aisha said, how about if we see injustice or someone taking advantage of a situation? Is it difficult not to get angry or upset? So this is a good question. So we're going to talk about that. There's aspects where you should get angry, right? And that is things that go against the religion. Because that's going to spark you for action. Someone drinking, someone killing somebody unjustly, someone, you know, taking someone's property, money, theft, right? All these things is, we call anger for Allah. Meaning that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that we should be angry about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word angry in the Quran, that Allah's anger is upon these people because they did X, Y, and Z. They denied their prophets, they didn't worship him, whatever. Right? So we should have that type of same anger, that we see something evil that's going on in society, right? And then we would just say that, you know, this money that's being spent here, but not on those who are needy or are homeless, right? Then you should be angry about that. But then not to where you go and, you know, punch people and, you know, break down windows and throw bricks at, you know, at cars, but that I want to take action. I want to try to see how can I better the situation. So whether that is through activism, the political means, if it's through your own self starting initiation, then alhamdulillah, that is praiseworthy if you have anger in that sense. But not necessarily because of, you know, just because you didn't get your opinion and you didn't get your way of how you wanted something to get done. That's another issue, right? So going back to this. So here we're at this, the companions are looking for how to better themselves. And we see the prophet, the man is saying has repeated the question multiple times. So I ask you, why do you think he asked the question multiple times? And I kind of alluded to it, that he asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, like, you know, give me counsel. And he got the advice, what? Do not get angry. Then he asked again, Ya Rasulullah, give me counsel, right? And then once again, that do not get angry. So here that, why did he repeat the question so much? Even three times. Even the second time, you think that maybe that he would said, okay, right? And, you know, let me see here. I think I have something here on the slide here. So that's another thing that we could ask. Why is he asking it so many times? So I would like to see what you guys think about here in terms of why did he keep on repeating it? The question for why didn't he just take it for face value for the first time that he heard it and then say, okay, alhamdulillah, I'll work on that. But look like he's asking, look like he's digging for more. And as I'm waiting for your some of your replies here in the chat box, one thing that we can take from this, one thing that we can learn from this is sometimes the most simple of advices that we give and that we hear from our scholars, even from the Quran, even from Hadith, is sometimes people do not want to take that because they're looking for something that needs to be more complex, right? Have to be something more deeper. Just get, don't get angry. I mean, like, could it be that something that I have to read some type of surah and then drink some Zamzam water and then, you know, pray 500 rakats of this prayer and then I will be successful, right? It can't be just don't get angry. No, come on, that's just, that's, you know, anyone could have told me that, right? That's a simple, you know, simple, if you will. I want something that's more complex. And the thing, my dear brothers and sisters, the most complex thing is it's not necessary to answer all the time, right? I know we live in a world where someone says, you know what, how are you going to build this house? We'll just put a roof and put a couple walls. Like, no, it has to be much more complex than that. It has to have all these different type of material. It has to do this. Maybe that's true in some aspects. But sometimes the most simplest advice is what we need to do, right? And so sometimes people say, like, you know, well, my son, you know, he's not praying. I wish he would come to the masjid. I wish he would have this. And I'll say, like, you know, simple advice. And you think that must be a very complex question. How can I get my children to start praying? How can they get them to love Islam? How can they come to the masjid? And one question I have to ask the parents, do you pray also at home? Do you come to the masjid? Right? Do you read Quran also? Simple. That's all. You know, it's not a big complex problem that, oh my gosh, we got to do this and trick them into loving this and loving that. It's sometimes very something simple. If that is in the household, inshallah, ta'ala, the kids will follow. That's just an example here. So what are some things that you guys have put here? Because he assumed that there would be more than just an issue like anger to be Islamic complaint. Exactly, right? Sometimes we think, like I said, we want something more like, you know, more deeper, if you will, than just the anger, right? That has to be something more spiritual level than just not getting angry. There has to be some type of prayer, some type of ritual that you need to do, right? Travel to this land and visit this holy site, and then you become more pure. That's not necessarily always the issue. Because the most difficult out one yet simple thing to follow is difficult not to get angry. So he's hoping for something else, right? That's true, right? And like I said, it's very hard to just to perfect this one thing, okay? So we see that's the reason why he's asking. And that's a good note for all of us, my dear brothers and sisters. If you go to Dr. Siddiqui and you ask him a question or ask one of our scholars, whatever the case may be, and they give you advice, you're like, and some people do this. They're like, oh, the sheikh doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't know this hadith. Maybe he doesn't know the verse. You know, they just, you know, just like, I don't think they're even in tune to what's going on. But sometimes, you know, we try to think that we know more, a little bit more. And then we kind of put down some of the answers that we give. But in retrospect, that could be actually the thing, the simple thing, advice that they're giving us is that what we actually need, right? That, okay, yeah, and the reason why maybe I need happiness, maybe the reason why I'm not doing burn so spiritually down because I just don't pray Fajr. I just don't pray my prayers. Maybe that's the simple advice, not because I need to drink some type of special drink or something like this, if you will, okay? And so he says, and then he says, do not become angry. So what is anger, right? And there's different ways that people could define anger, right? It's funny, like when you use the word anger, some people, I don't know if you ever noticed this, they don't like that word. So he's, I see, you might tell somebody, hey, don't get angry about this. Like, no, I'm not getting angry. I just don't like, you know, the situation. They say, I'm just frustrated. You know, I'm just flustered. You know, and they don't like the A word. You know, it feels like they're weak because anger is seen as a character of weakness, that you got angry, right? You know, like something, you know, came over you. So sometimes people don't like that when they become angry. They don't like, oh man, why are you so angry for? I'm not angry. Okay, I just don't like what's going on. It's very interesting. So here is that, subhanAllah, first of all, you have to accept that you do get angry and not deny it. And that's one way to improve. If you never accept something, then there's never a way to improve yourself, right? You know, brother, you need to have a connection with the Quran. No, I do have a connection with Quran. I have four or five Qurans at home. I very simple. I know I have it. Well, hold on. Yeah, but do you actually read it? Do you have a connection? No, I do. I have it my own way. You know, they don't want to, you know, necessarily admit the fault. But if you never admit to something, then like I said, it's hard to improve because you're always going to be in that denial phase. So here, the anger, the Prophet said, is explained as an ember that Shaitan throws in the hearts of the sons of Adam and it boils the heart, right? So like the fire that kind of enrages you. And once again here, there's a connection with Shaitan. And there's another hadith where the Prophet says that that anger is from Shaitan. Again, the state of anger when someone gets angry is from Shaitan, something that Shaitan leads someone into, right? And if you, I think all of us have been angry before, we know that it's usually not just like this, you get angry. It kind of builds up, you know? Someone kind of provokes you, and then they keep on saying something, and then, you know, you get kind of frustrated because you're trying to get your work done, but you can't, and then boom, and Shaitan kind of just sparks it. Next word that you hear from somebody, like a volcano, right? It's an event has to open. There's so much pressure inside, right? And so Shaitan's there trying to incite this, trying to get you to act on it. And why would Shaitan want you to do that? We all know that if you've seen someone who's angry, they end up saying some words and sentences that they shouldn't be saying, and they don't really mean, but it already has affected that other person. Insults, you know, put downs, I never want to see you again. Like, seriously, you never want to see your child again? You never want to see your wife again? You know, you never want to see your own brother or sister or your own friend? Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I was just so angry. Exactly, right? So, so like I said, it's that boiling point that Shaitan's trying to do. So obviously, this was, we're going to get into ways of how to control your anger. I mean, honestly, we could take the next 4 or 5 weeks and talk about anger management. And that's a whole science in itself. But at least we'll take some advices that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prophetic advices that he had given us in a couple slides, inshallah ta'ala. So one thing we could ask ourselves, why didn't the Prophet advise the man to have taqwa? You know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? How be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best thing you could do. And we all know that's like kind of like the pinnacle of character, Islamic character that someone can have is that they have taqwa. Why do you say, why don't you go make hajj? The reward for hajj is Jannah, right? That's just, right? That's, you know, Allahu Akbar. That's, if it's accepted hajj, Allah, that's it. That's all you've been working for this whole life. You know, if you could perfect that hajj, boom, invest in that. Or beware of your speech. You know, a speech, you know, could just ruin somebody. Well, why did the Prophet ﷺ, this is a question to all of you out there, why did the Prophet ﷺ tell this man, do not become angry? And then we asked him again, the Prophet ﷺ could have said what? And perform your prayers on time. And when he asked him again, he could have said what? And to make hajj. But once again, the Prophet ﷺ did not say that. He just kept on one thing, and that is what? Do not become angry. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. So once again, why did the Prophet ﷺ focus on this and not any other aspects of the religion or of character or acts of worship, if you will? So let me see some of your thoughts there, inshallah ta'ala. Brother Nisar, because anger is a root of not controlling our one's nafs, taqwa is after that. That's beautiful. That's very good. MashaAllah. Like the jack of cards, anger brings everything down. The house, like a house of cards. That's good. There you go. I thought it was like a Spanish word. I was wondering what that meant. But like the house of cards. Anger brings everything down, and controlling anger leads to breaking down your taqwa. That's good. And there's another hadith where it's mentioned that from a companion that said that anger is a root of all evil. Anger is a root of what? All evil. Right? When someone's jealous of somebody, there has to be an aspect of anger there, that they don't like that person, right? Call it hate, if you will, too, which is the aspect of anger, right? That causes, you know, people to do that, those type of things, right? To steal, to do this different type of thing. There's some type of anger that's built in the hearts of people that they say, you know what, I want to take advantage of this person because I believe they've been doing something wrong. I'm going to try to steal from them. They deserve it. So there's some, once again, there's anger that's kind of part of that plan, part of that action. Also, I want you guys to focus on is that the Prophet ﷺ was amazing of course, teacher, and way that he gave his advices. We all know that you have studied hadith very well. You see that the Prophet ﷺ gave advice to different people on from the same question. So some people say, what is the best act I could do? You find hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells a man, go perform jihad. Go out and defend the Muslims. Go on the battlefield. How great is that? Another time, another person asked, what is the best thing I could do? He said, go perform hajj, right? Go take care of your parents. So there's not a blanket statement for everyone at all times, because everyone has different situations. You understand? And so here the Prophet ﷺ knew that this man had an issue with what? Anger, right? Not necessarily finances and, you know, using his money in haram ways. Not necessarily maybe he wasn't praying and he wasn't reading Quran. Not necessarily he treats his family bad. But here the Prophet ﷺ knew that anger was an issue with this person. And so that's why when he told him, don't become angry, he asked him again, don't become angry. Just focus on this one thing. There's a lot of things we can work on. Just accomplish one and then move over to the next. And have your focus, boom, on one thing, right? And not try to do 100 things at one time and you'll get, you're putting 10% on everything and you're not getting anywhere. So he says, he knows that this person is what has this. And this is from the psychology of the Prophet ﷺ, that when he talks to somebody, then they should know the background of that person, what they're going through in their life. And some of you guys might be in a role advisor sometimes. People might come to you for help and just say, you know what, read Quran, go pray, do this, do that. That's all good advice. But you, like I said, you really have to sit down with that person and find out what are they going through in their life? You know, what's causing their issues? What's their family situation? What's their marriage situation? How is their relationship with their parents? How is their relationship with their children, right? And then you kind of understand like, oh, okay. Right? And this is more like for psychologists and counselors, et cetera. And so that's what the Prophet was, right? So like I said, that's the reason why he mentioned that, okay? Here, the statement is, do not become angry. Now let's go to the practicality of that question. Can someone never become angry? And this is the Prophet, right, giving advice. You know, he's guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this statement, do not become angry, is that, could someone even, you know, perfect that? Is that even attainable, right? What does it mean when the Prophet ﷺ says, do not become angry, right? Is that, what do you guys think? Do you think someone could never become angry in their life? After they say that, okay, I won't become angry. I'll just like, you know, okay, I'm good. Right, I'll work on that. Okay, I'll just, you know, I'm able to perfect it. Do you think that's possible that somebody can never become angry again and kind of just diffuse that situation? What are your thoughts on some of that? Today's more interactive than other classes, and I know, I like it. So Sister Lisa says no, right? Alhamdulillah, she lived life long enough, knows that. That's really hard, you know what I mean? You can control it to an extent, but I always say like anger is kind of like a pressure cooker. You guys know pressure cookers, right? Or Instapots, if you will, and everyone's using Instapot now these days, right? That you can control the pressure, you know, someone could aggravate you, you could hold it in, but like it has to release somewhere. Some people like to, you know, have a stress ball where they squeeze it. Some people have to use a punching bag. Some people have to go for a walk, go for a run, let it out and exercise, right? Some people clean when they want to release their anger. They just start cleaning or go on the garden or, you know, people have different ways of releasing it. No, but it's to make toba and rectify each time you do it. Brother Nisar, very good, alhamdulillah. Anger is a feeling that's it's normal to be angry. It's normal. It's a human aspect. Exactly. And this is what the scholars have mentioned. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, his commentary on this hadith here, on this sentence, he said, what is meant by this words of the Prophet is do not act on your anger. What? Do not act on your anger. What does that mean? When you become angry and you want to, you know, insult the other person or use, you know, we say four-letter words that you probably shouldn't be using, or you want to punch the wall, or you want to grab something and throw it across the room, or break a plate, or people do all type of things, right? SubhanAllah. Is that do not act on that. Try to control yourself. You're going to get angry. 100% you're going to get angry. You're going to get angry today, maybe tomorrow, next week, it's going to happen again, right? But the best of people is able to control themselves on how they act on that anger. People could sit in a meeting at work and know that their opinion is not being heard and they're always, and they're, you know, someone else is taking credit for the work, you know, but they could blot out on one of these Zoom calls, you know, or in one of those meetings and just in front of everybody, they don't care. Or some people could, you know, I'm going to go to the manager after and I'm going to talk to him in a civilized way and say, hey, this is happening at work. Or a family member, you're going to sit them down and say, hey, I didn't appreciate this. Why is this happening? And they do it in a civilized manner, right? Someone cuts someone off on the freeway. You've been driving before in Southern California. Some people will follow you and right behind your back, even though like you didn't mean to come in their lane, and they'll ride your back on your car for like how many miles, you know, sometimes follow you off the exit and, you know, honk, come and do all type of things, subhanAllah, at 65 miles per hour, at 80 miles per hour, whether you have kids in the car or other people in the car. People don't know how to control that anger. They're just doing it, an impulse, you know. This person wants to drive and do this. It happens in all different aspects of our life, if you will. How about if work politics make you angry? No, it should. I mean, like I said, it should. Somebody puts you in a situation, you respond accordingly, but phrase it professionally. Is that okay? Okay. Yeah, exactly. There you go, Sister Aisha. There you go. Alhamdulillah. Right, exactly. Like I said, it's all about, like, you're married and you never got angry with your spouse, please come. I would love to come and like just watch you in your house and see what you guys do. I'll be just amazed, you know. The Prophet ﷺ had anger, had issues with his wives at the time. But was it a yelling match? Did someone get kicked out of the house? Did plates get thrown across the room? What happened? Did people get insulted? People say, call people, talk about their family and your mom is this and your mom does that and your mom has trained you this way, right? And then you start attacking your families and oh, it's over when you start attacking the families, right? But it's the way you handle yourself, whether you're at work, in a family setting, at a family dinner, right? Is this a time for me to blurt out what somebody has just said to me, right? No, there's a way to handle that. And that's beautiful when you see somebody who is angry and you don't really see that, you know, on their face. So we're going to get to that right now in a bit, if you will. It might be the next slide. If I could get my slide. Oh, here we go. That is the next slide. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, one of my favorite ayat in the Quran, in verse 134. He talks about the muttaqeen, that those who have taqwa, and Brother Nisar was just talking about taqwa, right? And talk about tawbah and etc. That, and Aisha also was talking about that. And so in terms of like the muttaqeen, those who possess taqwa, those who act upon taqwa, who are they? And these beautiful verses, starting with 132, verse 132 in Surah Ali Imran. I really would love you guys to go home and you guys are at home. We're not at the masjid. So when you're at home, when you're done in the class, to go over these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that He has prepared Jannah that is so expansive for the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully, very clearly describes who are the people of taqwa. What do they do? Right? You find that someone who's a good investor. What do they invest in? Why are they so great? Same thing here, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the muttaqeen. This is what they do. So follow them. Who are they, Ya Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who have taqwa are those who spend in ease and hardship. We're not talking about sadaqah today or spending, but it's a good advice nonetheless. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who كَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. And the word kadhama in Arabic, kaf, wa, mim, means to swallow. Like you swallow food, if you will. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who have taqwa are those who swallow their anger. If I was eating something, and this won't be the best of mannerism, but anyhow, just for the sake of the example, if I was eating something and I opened my mouth, would you see that food? Yeah, you would see that food. You can see exactly what kind of maybe something that I'm eating. Maybe you can't really decipher what exactly that is, but I'm eating that food. Now, if I swallow that food and I open my mouth, would you see food? You wouldn't see it. It'll be gone. So here, when we talk about kaldimin al-ghaid, I mean, those who swallow the ankle, you don't even see it on their face. There's no big veins coming down the side of their forehead, through their neck here. Eyes look like they're about to pop open, right? You know, face gets all red. Even though they have brown skin, it still gets a little red. Right? I've seen that before, right? So here is that they're able to control themselves. I see Sister Homera is raising her hand. I don't know how to control that. I don't know if you could. I don't think I allowed you to mute your unmute your mic or anything. But you could put your chat in the audio volume is very low. Is anyone else audio volume very low? This is my microphone here. If you're the only one experiencing that, I would say it's maybe your computer. But I'll see Sister Aisha or Sister Brother. Sister Aisha says it's fine. Brother Nisar or Sister Lisa. So maybe Sister Homera is probably a volume button, even though that's very obvious. But anyhow, or maybe you might have to log back in. Allahu alam. I don't know. Technical things are, yeah, this stuff happens sometimes. I don't want to talk super loud because everyone else is going to be, might get angry if I do that. I don't want to get them angry, right? Controlling your anger is tough. Okay. So anyhow, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those who have taqwa, those who actually swallow their anger. They don't actually see it anymore. And that's a high level. First of all, we're just talking about how to control ourselves when we're angry. We don't say something that we're going to regret, right? Another next level is the muttaqeen. Those who have taqwa, oh, you don't even see the anger on them. Allahu Akbar. Like subhanAllah. You know some people in our community. You might know even some of our imams and stuff, mashallah, yani. People could aggravate them, or people could ask questions, or people, you know, they have, you know, tough schedules, etc. And you look at them and like, you wonder if they have, like, if they'd ever get angry. Or you could tell that they're angry and they're bothered by something, but it's, you know, they're controlling it so, so very well, subhanAllah, right? So that's something we could all kind of to try to attempt to get to that level. Thank you, Brother Nisar, for putting that link there. So maybe YouTube might work better for you. Sister Homera. Okay. There you go. I got my IT volunteer now. Brother Nisar, you're hired now. Inshallah ta'ala, you'll be rewarded in Hasanat. Inshallah ta'ala. Right. Another thing on this term, Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, one of the scholars after the death of the Prophet shortly after the death of the Prophet he was of a tabi'i, he was of the generation after the Sahaba. He said something very beautiful. He said, four aspects that whomsoever possesses them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from shaitan and forbid him from entering the hellfire. I mean, this was his opinion, but alhamdulillah, yeah, and he studied very well. He came up with this. And he said, it's who can control themselves at the time of, number one, greed. That could be greed for money. That could be greed for food, right? It could be greed in general. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like people who are too greedy and mistake up and not caring about others, right? At the time of fear, so they're able to be courageous, not cowardly, for example, okay? That could be in the battlefield, that could be in, and when you see something wrong, you know, are able to take that fear and actually step up and help correct it. Someone's being abused or someone being physically hurt, right? Number three, cardinal desires in terms of, you know, sexual temptation, etc. Able to control themselves in terms of that. And then number four, in terms of anger. He said, these four things, if you're able to do it, you get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Brother Zafar, mashallah, mashallah. I didn't know you were here today. Come to life. Appreciate that you coming and attending. Sheikh, are you saying that not to show signs of anger on your face, but from the hadith we know the Prophet face sometimes used to get angry when he was angry. Very true. There's definitely, it may not be easy to control his sign, but actions will be controlled. Definitely. That's why we said, Brother Zafar, that those who could swallow their anger are the muttaqeen. We ask Allah, make us of the muttaqeen. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. That's a high level. We're talking about the A-plus students. Okay? You know, we might be at the level of the C passing. We might be at a level of the B grade, where we control our anger and we're not insulting people. Alhamdulillah, we're getting up to the A level, right? But A plus, mashallah. I'm not saying the Prophet wasn't A plus. Yeah, there's times when he did show his anger. And like I said, there's times when he did that. But if you look at any of those hadith, he's not throwing things across the room or astaghfirullah, yani. He's like, you know, abusing some people with foul language and stuff for a lot. This is not the Prophet, right? But he did a lot of times. Sometimes he got angry when he would talk about the Day of Judgment and Jahannam, right? And other times when people used to argue in front of him, you know, those times that he showed anger when that happened. But this is like 0.01% of the hadith, right? And that's another thing. Sometimes we like to focus on the 0.01%, and then we don't think about the other 99%. And we're going to go to over, and I know you didn't mean to do that. You bring up a valid point. The Prophet did do that, and I appreciate you bringing up that point. But I just, you know, sometimes we have to make sure that, yes, there are just exceptions that are, once again, very rare. And we're going to go to an example of this in a bit, where it kind of shows how the Prophet ﷺ really controlled himself at the time when somebody almost like, physically abused him. But anyhow. And then we have this hadith at the end here, the end of the slide here, the bottom of the slide, I should say, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the strong is not the one who could overcome the people by his strength. Not the ones with the big muscles, kind of like myself, you know, that able to take somebody and wrestle them down. That's not the strong person. But the strong one is to control himself when they're angry. Allahu Akbar. That's where that one's strong. That's tough. And that person just called you that. That person just did this to you. You're not gonna punch them back. You're not gonna say this about their mother. They said something about your mother. Someone did that. Alhamdulillah. It's okay, don't worry, inshallah. I'll address that in a bit. I'll address that when things calm down. Oh man, if that was me, man, I would have done this to this person. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. We don't want to be like you. We want to be like the Prophet. That's why he was there for our example, right? So we have to be careful of that, of trying to be like others and to look macho or look strong. Also, Umar Raylan would ask people to recite Quran because that helped him calm down. Isn't that coping a technique? Quran, definitely. We're going to go over some coping techniques in a bit. The Prophet advised us to perform, I think you meant wudu. Not udu, but wudu, during anger. Yes, we're going to go over that, Brother Zafar, inshallah, in a bit. Okay, so let me get the slide. Come on, slide. Another hadith here. I'm going over this this small little hadith in depth because, believe me, if all of us, including myself, and I have little kids, a 2 and a 4-year-old, and believe me, they'll test your anger level, you know, writing on walls and pulling plants out of the ground that you've been waiting so long for them to grow. And next thing you know, it's on the ground and subhanAllah. Okay, yeah, a lot of things, you know. The thing, I'm really big about cleanliness. And so having kids is almost like the opposite of trying to keep things clean. But anyhow, like I said, the reason why we're going over this is because this is, I believe, like the Prophet said, and other people said, if we could really focus on just this one thing, anger, then I think all of us will be victorious. If you just work on this one hadith from the whole, you know, 12 weeks of this course, if you will, and including myself, yani your marriage will have improvements, your work ethics will have improvements, right? Your family relations, you have more tranquility in your life, you know? You feel more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you feel guided when you're in those times. You feel like you have, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel that, you know, you physically almost feel that. It's amazing if you get to that point. Read this hadith here. The Prophet said, behold, indeed the children of Adam, human beings, were created in various classes, right? There's different people, all different levels. Some people are more polite than others. Some people are more athletic than others. People are more knowledgeable than others. All various classes. Behold, among them is the slow to get angry and the quick to become calm, right? Very slow to get angry. Like you could make it bear a lot of things. And they're very quick to become calm. Like they're able to keep themselves calm. Among them is the quick to become angry and the quick to become. To get angry really quick, and then they go quick, and they calm really back really quick. You know, I don't know if you know those people that have an argument with you, and they'll come by like in the next like 5 minutes and say, hey, you wanna have dinner? Or you wanna, you know, and they'll ask you a normal question as if there was no argument that happened like 2 minutes ago. And for them, they're like, they got over the problem. And you find some people, they need 2-3 days before they start talking to you again. So I don't know, right? People are interesting. And among them is quick to become angry and the quick to become calm. So this is with that. And I said, behold, among them is the quick to become angry and the slow to become calm. That's the worst, right? Really mad, really quick. A little thing just gets them angry. And it takes a long time for them to kind of get back to normal. Okay, silent treatment for a very long time. They're not talking to you. Then finally they come over and say, hey, how are you doing? And indeed, the best of them is the slow to become angry and the quick to be calm. And the worst of them is the quick to become angry and the slow to be calm. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ is showing here that what is the best of us. And here, going back to Brother Zafar, that he's saying that, look, he's acknowledging that you're going to become angry, right? But just do it in a very slow fashion. Basically, don't start the fire immediately, right? It's going to take a long while for you to get to that level. And hopefully you never get to a level that kind of plateaus before you reach your... That, you know, like that term we have, you know, don't push my buttons, right? That when it finally, your button gets pushed up here and you just can't take it anymore and the pressure release on the pressure cooker comes out, right? So you hopefully are able to plateau before you actually hit that, if you will, okay? What are some methods? And you guys all have been asking for it. Alhamdulillah, a lot of you guys have alluded to it already. What are some methods in terms of controlling our anger, in terms of prophetic means? And as I'm going through this, I would like some of you to all of you to put in the chat box, if you don't mind sharing, what are some things that you do? Or this, to put it this way, what are some things that you know some other people do to control their anger, and you've seen it, and alhamdulillah, you like, you're kind of wowed by it. You see that it is a successful strategy. It works, if you will. So you can go ahead and share something there, and then we can learn from each other, you know. Some people say, hey, I just go and I start cooking. Okay, mashallah. For some people, that works really well, you know. Some people go in the backyard and pulling out weeds, you know, and they say, you know, and that for them, mashallah. They don't yell at anybody. They don't insult anybody. Alhamdulillah, the garden in the back becomes very nice and clean. And they're able to use that to relieve their stress. Some people go for a walk, go running, right? Some people might read a verse of the Quran. Some people might, you know, do whatever they want. So go ahead and share that somewhat, inshallah ta'ala. So what are some things here? Number one is seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. By just saying that, okay? There's a hadith in al-Bukhari that a companion of the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Sulaiman ibn Sard said, I was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ. And I really want you guys to focus on this hadith. I was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ and two men were slandering each other. So imagine this, a man is sitting with the Prophet ﷺ and they're looking and they're seeing two people arguing. They're just going at each other, okay? One of them was red in the face and the veins of his neck was showing and were standing out. The Prophet ﷺ said, I know a word which if he were to say it, what he feels will go away. That anger would go away. That temper will go away. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if he said, I seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. Once again, the shaitan is caused the one who causes that anger in a spiritual sense. Okay? Insults from that person probably get that person angry. But shaitan's there trying to light that fire even more. He's throwing more wood and putting the gasoline on that thing. Right? He wants you to explode. He wants you to destroy your character. He wants you to embarrass yourself. Say something that you're going to regret. That's what he wants you to do. And what he feels will go away. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if this person, look at this hadith, it's amazing. He's sitting there watching these two people argue and telling the other Sahabi, if he would say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, that anger will go away. I want to ask you here. The Prophet is a prophet of Allah, right? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His main job as a prophet is that if someone is doing wrong in front of him, he must act. He cannot keep silent. Prophets cannot do that. They'll be not fulfilling their duty. That if he sees something wrong, he has to say, hey, this is wrong. Allah, your God, you know, your Lord does not want you to do this, right? Do this if you will. Act this way if you will. But here we see the Prophet doesn't say it. He doesn't stop those people. Why doesn't he stop these two people, right? Why doesn't he say, hey guys, why don't you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim? You'll see that anger will go away. Why wouldn't the Prophet do that? What do you think is the reason for that? And I'll go to some of your things here, Hamdallah. I know you guys are posting some things here. Let me see. Oh, mashallah, mashallah. I just step back and rethink and recite Bismillah a couple times. Very good, Aisha. Subhanallah. That's all you need. Allahu Akbar. That's beautiful. If you got to that level, that's great. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you might have to step back. Oh, well, yeah, we don't know how long you have to step back. But no, that's good. And that's good. It saved you from any type of, you know, saying something you're going to regret. Sitting down and drinking cold water, Brother Nisar, let go. Take that fire out from you. When I argue with my wife, I get angry. Bad news up for everyone, right? I go out of the house and go for a drive for a while and come back. MashaAllah. Okay, like I said, it's better than for the kids seeing something in the household or something like that. You know, I just hope you have good gas mileage on your car. You don't have to waste too much gas. I don't say anything. I don't say anything or walk away. That's good. I know that I've played that role before. We just don't say anything. But sometimes the other person gets more mad. Like, oh, you're not responding to me. You're not answering me, right? Why don't you reply back to me? And I'm saying, like, no, I'm just trying to control myself. That's all I'm trying to do. I heard what you said. I understand it. And I just feel like I just need to not respond, or I might, you know, say something I'm going to regret. So sometimes you have to verbalize that to the person, right? Communicate that to the person, so they don't think that you're just ignoring them. Like, okay, I'm just like, right? So I don't know if Sister Lisa, you ever experienced that before, but I tried that method a couple times before. Some people drink a glass of water and change their position. Very good. I usually change my position. That helps. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I always have the attitude of alhamdulillah for everything. Oh, mashallah, very good. Take a deep breath. Say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. There you go. That's like a kind of like Sister Aisha. If the Prophet has intervened and there you go. So Brother Nisar is answering my question now. The first hadith here is that why did the Prophet didn't intervene? So Brother Nisar is saying that if the Prophet, if he intervened, they had something against the messenger in anger, they would have be destined to hell to answer your question, isn't it? Very good. So but what he's trying to say that if they would have answered back to Prophet because they're angry, they might say something like, be quiet or leave us alone, right? That's the Prophet of Allah. You know, one thing, talking to your parents is one thing, but talking to the Prophet of something like this, you know, that's, you know, there's some respect you want to give. And so here, the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ is that when you see people that are angry, that are frustrated, are going at each other, is maybe better for you not to jump in. Because you say, hey guys, come on, don't act like this, right? What are you arguing for? What are they going to say? You know, you're right. That's so true. Subhanallah, we were wrong, right? Thanks for that advice. Are they going to do that? They're yelling at the top of their lungs. Their mind is almost like they're drunk, in a drunken state. If you see some people who's really angry, like it's mentioned the hadith, their veins coming out of the neck, it's almost like they're in a drunken state. They're breathing hard. They almost look like they're in a state of, you know, being possessed to an extent. So they're not going to be thinking rationally. What they're going to do, they're going to turn to you most likely and say, who are you to correct us, right? You to do the same thing too. You're always causing problems too. And now instead of two people arguing, we have three people arguing. And it just becomes worse. So the Prophet ﷺ doesn't intervene. He's a prophet. He's going to correct them, but maybe not right now. And that's from his wisdom. And that's something we could pick up on. In another narration of this hadith here, look at this. When the Prophet ﷺ tells that man, If they would say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, their anger would go away. In another narration of the hadith, that man, guess what he does? He thinks that the Prophet gave me a secret. Oh my gosh, I got to tell the world. So what does that man do? It's mentioned in another version of this hadith, that he walks over to these people, thinking that he has some, you know, great news to share with them, that the Prophet gave me something special nobody knows about. And he says, hey, why don't you say A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim? As mentioned in the hadith, those two men say, hey, get away from us and leave us alone. And the man leaves. And that's exactly the issue. That if you see somebody that's frustrated going through issues, it's better just to leave out. Sometimes you might see your spouse. They're frustrated because the cooking went bad and the kids are taking crayons and they're writing on the wall, and you know, they have to get ready for in bed, and they have to take their shower, and this might not be the time to say, hey, like, you didn't make any vegetables today. Didn't we talk about we should eat healthy? You shouldn't maybe say that, you know what? I didn't find the credit card upstairs. I didn't find the bank statements you told me to find. Where did you put them? Probably not the best time to ask those questions right now, right? And that's from the wisdom here, is that that might lead to what? Oh, come on, I told you 3 times where it's at, you know? And that's the wisdom of not even starting an argument and becoming someone might get angry. So that's from the wisdom of ourselves, that when we see somebody that might be frustrated, we take our time back, and maybe I'll ask them that question later on, and that's something that's prophetic. Another thing the Prophet said, to be calm and silent. If any of you becomes angry, let him become silent. Kind of like Sister Lisa. So that's very prophetic of what you said, right? Is not to say anything. But like I said, it's kind of good to let the person know that I just want to say anything right now because I feel like I might say something that might be disrespectful. So I'm going to wait a time where we're calm and we could talk about it in a rational and way, if you will. And you can tell the person, this is what I'm going through right now. I'm sorry. I heard what you say. I respect your feeling. I respect what you have said to me, and you're frustrated because I did this X, Y, and Z. But that's it. And I think that might help sometimes. That's if you know, so the person doesn't think that you're blowing them off. Third point here. Change positions and make wudu. And I think Brother Nisar, someone mentioned that in the chat box. So the Prophet said in a hadith there by Ahmed and Abu Dawood, that if one of you get angry while standing, let him sit. And if he's sitting, let him lay down. And if anger doesn't go away, let him make wudu. All right? And usually when people are angry, are they sitting down? No, they're standing up and they're trying to be bigger than the other person, right? And if they're sitting and they're arguing, then the Prophet said that, let them lie down. And I honestly have not seen an argument with some people lying down on the bed. I hate you. It doesn't really work. You know, it's just not a, you know, and that's exactly what the Prophet is doing. So you're talking about changing your position. If you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting down, lie down. And also just changing that location, right? Kind of like somebody, oh, Brother Zafar, you just leave the house and drive, you know? You want to leave that room or go outside or sit in another room or, you know, whatever you have to do. So you're not, you know, you don't have to, you know, get in trouble by, and sometimes people will follow you and they'll argue with you even though you're in another room, walk behind you. Even though you close the door, they're arguing you through the door. People do all type of things. So Brother Zafar is actually leaving the house, mashallah, you can't, hopefully they don't call you on your cell phone. So you just can maybe, you know, you don't have to keep on dealing with that type of stuff. But anyhow. It's tough, subhanAllah. May Allah help us in the situation of anger and handling it. It's very tough, subhanAllah, you know, all these different ways. And you get really frustrated that I tried this, I tried that, and it's not working. But like I said, you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that hilm, that forbearance to handle these situations. Remember the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? In a hadith, whoever controls his anger at the time when he has a means to act upon it, Allah will fulfill his heart and contentment on the day of resurrection. Right? That's a great reward that you get by just being able to do that. Point number five, remember the sunnah. This is what I was talking about when you said the Prophet gets mad sometimes. Anas radiallahu anhu said that I was walking with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was wearing a Najrani coat from Najran, like this very nice kind of like shirt, if you will. Okay? That somebody gifted him with a rough collar, almost kind of like maybe like this, if you will, to extend. A Bedouin came. And one thing about Bedouins, you guys know about Arabs in general, Bedouins are a little bit more, they're like from the farmlands, if you will. They're outside the city. They're a little bit harsh in their lifestyle. You know, a little bit more rugged type people, okay? Their mannerism is a little bit different, put it that way. So a Bedouin man came and seized the Prophet roughly by the edge of his cloak. Man came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not some random guy in the street, right? Not one of the companions, but he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grabbed him by his shirt, his collar. Remember, this was a nice little shirt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got. And he remember, he wasn't wearing very fancy clothes, so if he had one little fancy shirt, nice shirt, then you don't want to rip it. This man grabbed it. Then the Bedouin ordered him to give him some wealth, of Allah that he had. He said, give me some zakat, some money that Allah has given you. Basically trying to say, give me some zakat money. Okay. The Prophet turned to him and smiled. The Prophet turned around to see who is this person that's pulling my shirt and smiles at him and told the other person, give some money to this man. And the hadith, and I've looked at this hadith multiple times. I'm just like stunned by every time I read this hadith, right? Forget about somebody, you know, insulting you, somebody grabbing you physically by your shirt. Here, I'm trying to find out, did the Prophet afterwards meet up with him? I'm assuming that later on, maybe he talked to him after and said, you know, this is not the way that you act. But I'm not finding any narrations from that, but I would just assume that as that's something I would assume the Prophet would do. And Anas in the narration mentions that the man pulled his shirt so hard that a red line was around the Prophet's neck. Okay. And that's how anytime I go over this hadith, I always give the example, you know, we should have this, you know, if we were in person, that we all should go out in the parking lot in the masjid and pull each other's collars and let's see who gets angry. Let's see if you're able to control yourself. Now, why did the Prophet was able not to suffer the punch this person back, pull his collar? No. And even the companions didn't jump on this man, right? Once again, the Prophet knew who that man was. He knew that he was a Bedouin. He knew that he was from a different harsh lifestyle, that this is kind of how they act, okay? And number two, he understood that. And the Prophet has, you know, rahmah for the believers, right? Dealing with other Muslims, they go up another level. Deal with the non-Muslims, obviously in a great way, polite, generous, good etiquettes. But if you're going to deal with Muslims, you put more frosting and cherries on the top, if you will, right? You go to a higher level because they're your brother and sister in Islam, even though they might have the best mannerism, like this man here. He said, give me some money. That's pretty much what he's asking. And look, the Prophet smiles, man, smiles at him. Why? Because he understands, like, first of all, he's probably, you know, surprised that somebody would do this, but he understands that where that man's coming from, okay? And so here is that, and he gives him some money. So that's how he's able to control that. And that's sometimes when I get frustrated, and I don't get angry. I get frustrated at some of my kids when they do certain things. I remember my wife gave me a very good advice, mashallah, and I thank her for that. She said, Shahid, she's only 2 years old. He's only 4 years old. And I think my four-year-old, I feel like I'm talking to a 20-year-old sometimes because I feel like he understands things very well. I think a lot of kids are, mashallah, they're very clever. They talk, they communicate very well. I was like, no, he knows not to use this marker on the wall. He knows that he should put back his train tracks, right? But like, and then I thought about that. Yeah, he's 4 years old. I mean, his life is about playing right now and not about trying to clean the house like me and make sure it's spotless and, you know, and marvel on how there's not a speck of, you know, dust on the counter, right? That's not his life story right now. I just didn't ponder it. And then so kind of tell me, it's like the Bedouin. Like, that's just the way like he's acting. Doesn't mean it's correct, but he's from a different background. And so that kind of helps you when you get in those angry moments to kind of understand that whether it's your child, whether it's your spouse, they just came home, they're frustrated, they're not getting respect at work, they've been in 1 hour traffic, that, you know, it's, you know, not like you're justified for yelling at somebody, but you guys understand the point that I'm trying to get to. So inshallah ta'ala, you guys are hopefully benefit from that, and we could definitely control our anger when it comes. Interactive format is good. I understand it can't apply, but all the time I like it, yes. Sister Aisha, I love my classes like this so much more. I'm not a big fan of Zoom. I don't think anyone's a big fan of Zoom, but it has done great things for us, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. But I think, you know, when we had classes in the conference hall, I just love talking to you guys a lot more, because when I see you guys answering and stuff like that, it means you're processing, you're interacting, you'd be more engaging in the class than just a lecture, if you will. And so, and especially with these type of things, especially the anger one is something that applies to everybody. You know what I mean? So everyone goes through it. So it's actually a great hadith that can be very interactive with. I'm looking at the time here, 11:50. I'm going to start the hadith, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll just try to end in 5 minutes. Hopefully Sister Sabiha's not going crazy that, how are you starting the hadith in 5 minutes? I think Dr. Siddiqui doesn't have his class today from what I now remember. So yeah, we have some leeway. But she's not going crazy, mashallah, right? So yeah, so we'll go up to 12 o'clock, inshallah ta'ala. I won't hold you more than that. So hadith number 17. Let me see if she's writing something somewhere. Something. Oh, there! I hear a voice. I hear a laugh. That's a, what type of laugh was that? We are keeping our cool. Dr. Sig, oh, Dr. Sig is having his class. Oh, okay. Well, they faked me out there. I thought he wasn't. Okay. So the more time I waste doing this, I'm down to 4 minutes now, inshallah ta'ala. My computer is in, my battery's dying. So anyhow, this is read the hadith, inshallah ta'ala. So on the authority of Abu Ya'la al-Shaddad ibn Aus, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah has prescribed ihsan, proficiency or perfection, in all things. So if you kill, then kill well. And if you slaughter, then slaughter well. Let each one of you sharpen his blade and let him spare the suffering to the animal he slaughters. Remember, I told you today's class a lot about mannerism. So not getting angry. And even last week, loving for your brother, what you want for your own self, right? This is our interactions with what? With others, if you will. But in terms of our ihsan, in terms of our mannerism, it also applies to all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know Sister Aisha was asking about this a while ago, about even animals, right? And we're going to talk about spiders and different things in our household in a bit. Even that, you even use that. Because like I said, when you build character or a habit, it's not just that you just do it in one thing. Let's say you're very...
Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry. I just told you my battery was dying on my laptop and I should have plugged in last night. But anyhow, I don't have the slide in front of me nowhere. But anyhow, the last comment I'll just make, and obviously there's probably a sign that I probably should end early now, is that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about that what to have proficiency in everything that we do, right? And is here is talking about in terms of our even our slaughtering, the way that we treat our animals. And we're going to get a little bit, inshallah, next week now, in terms of our zabiha meat. You know, it's not just about, you know, is halal, is it zabiha, why do we have to eat that meat? You know, it's more expensive. Like I said, there's much more behind that. And we kind of alluded to that when we talked about that it could prevent our du'as to being accepted, right? And so, but it's also about how the animal gets treated. And so the Prophet is going to speak from this hadith, he's speaking about that in terms of how the animal is even slaughtered, that to sharpen your knife when you do slaughter it, right? That the basically was trying to say that the animal should not go through any type of hardship. And we're like, and you so much might be saying, like, hold on, we're talking about animals now? Yeah, exactly. We are talking about animals. And that is a Muslim, is that we all aspect of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have respect for, right? And some people talk about dogs, you know, dogs are this and dogs are that. But even a dog, right? That you might say it's dirty, you know, this, et cetera. We're going to talk about this a bit next week, that every aspect of it, you know, that we have a respect for Allah's creation doesn't mean necessarily you have to go and, you know, hug it and rub it and do, you know, whatever, and you know, whatever you know, calls for those type of things. But in terms of, like, understand that the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ihsan, having perfection, applies for everything. We're not talking about salah. We're not just talking about your wudu. We're talking about how you clean your house. We're talking about how you wash your dishes. We're talking about, like, your car is not looking like it went through some type of, you know, dirt rally or something like that, and you could, you know, write in the window because it's so dirty, right? It's everything a Muslim should have in terms of this. They're always going after perfection. And, you know, you might fall short on it, you know, because it's kind of hard to do it to every aspect of your life. But the mindset of a Muslim is to have that ihsan and everything. So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to cover that next week. We focus on anger a lot today. And like I said, I really, you know, believe that is something that if all of us could even make little small steps into how we control ourselves when we get angry, then it's going to do a great amount for you in this world
and especially in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kareem Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make us of those that could kadhimin al-ghayd, that control our anger and swallow it down, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us remember you in the times that we get angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us composure in when we are in the state of anger, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us for our wrongdoings, strengthen our iman and taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to bless the ummah and our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Syria, in Yemen, in Kashmir, in Egypt, in Libya, here and even in Southern California, all any places that they are suffering, to bring ease to them, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.